Hey, you want that to go?
Now, some quick takeouts on the news for you. We'll start with Louise Story, finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. And Louise, oil has suddenly topped more than $81 a barrel. And this obviously is not good news during cold weather. What's going on?
Well, it's good news or it's bad news. It depends on your perspective, as with so much of the economic news. But it's been hovering between $70 and $80 since July. And you're right, it went above $81 yesterday. And what's going on is that there was built-up demand from manufacturers and from companies to produce more inventory in the last month. That's why we had some positive manufacturing numbers again that came out yesterday from December. And as they do this, they're using more oil. Mm. And so the positive news is that maybe this is a sign that manufacturing is coming back. If manufacturing comes back, maybe we get jobs back. But then the negative news is when you go to the gas pump, these prices are horrible. They're up 6 cents in the last week. Get this, they're up a dollar from a year ago. Wow. So it'll really cost you when you drive and when you turn on your heat.
And now put these numbers for me in perspective in terms of manufacturing, because before we were in the worst manufacturing slump since the Great Depression. So yes, we're getting good news, but is it bringing us back to former levels, or is this just good news after a really, really bad time?
It is bringing us back. This is the fifth straight month of improvement in that Institute for Supply Management Index, which we all watch carefully. This is the highest level since April of 2006. Okay. So it is really improving, but there are some real questions on whether it's going to continue. And I think the whether it will continue or not is going to be whether those gas prices, you know, get so high that people don't spend money, and whether there's jobs given to people that they can go spend money. And that's a real question.
Sustainability seems to be the big question for the beginning
of the year.
That's right.
Sustainability.
So
in the economy.
Right. Louise Story, takeaway finance contributor and finance reporter for The New York Times.
And when people look for oil prices as a sign of demand in the economy, it's definitely different, interesting times. Well, David Zirin joins us now. Dave, haven't talked to you in a while. Good morning.
Hey, great to be here, John.
He's, of course, writer for edgeofsports.com and the author of A People's History, Sports in the United States. So we're going to talk about the NFL going to the U.S. Supreme Court next Wednesday. The NFL claims it's not a monopoly, or it claims that they don't have to, obey antitrust laws. Which is it?
Yeah, this is like the Super Bowl for lawyers. This case was brought against the NFL by the sports apparel manufacturer American Needle, who back in the day had licensing deals to produce hats, jerseys, and other merchandise for NFL teams. Now, American Needle took the NFL to court after the league gave exclusive merchandising rights to Reebok, American Needle saying they weren't given the right to compete with Reebok by approaching individual teams to put out their gear. The NFL says that even though they're made up of these individual teams that run businesses separately, they actually operate in a collective manner and therefore are exempt from all antitrust laws. Now, what's interesting about this is that the NFL has won this every step of the way in the legal process, and when American Needle took it to the Supreme Court, the NFL said, yes, let's go to the Supreme Court, let's do it, because what the NFL wants is the Supreme Court to actually issue a ruling that's even broader than the issue of merchandise, and say once and for all, yes, the NFL is antitrust exempt. It is one entity. It does not have to follow any of the Sherman Antitrust Act laws.
Now, that's interesting. So they're betting and feeling pretty confident going into this Supreme Court, this Super Bowl for lawyers next Wednesday. But, you know, around Super Bowl time, it's amazing to me the power and reach of the NFL. I mean, there are certain advertisers who've paid to say the word Super Bowl in their ads, and then others who have to use the big game nomenclature. I mean, how can the NFL be like baseball? Baseball gets an explicit exclusion from antitrust from Congress. NFL never got that. What are they arguing?
Well, they want it so badly because also this, for the last generation, you could argue that the power of sports has been in the hands of the unions. And this would really put a lot of the power and set amazing precedent to put power in the hands of ownership. I mean, it's a lot more than just them jacking up the prices of a fitted cap. They could then openly collude on salaries for players and coaches. You know, the anti-collusion trials would be things of the past. They could put down as fiat things like blood drug testing.
Right.
And the NFL's collective bargaining agreement expires in March 2011. If the Supreme Court rules for the NFL, this would almost certainly provoke a lockout or a strike, which would jeopardize, of course, the very game.
And you've got to figure that the NBA and the NHL are on the sidelines cheering even quietly. Dave Zirin, thanks so much. Dave Zirin. Dave Zirin is writer for edgeofsports.com and author of A People's History, Sports in the United States. He's a correspondent for The Nation magazine.
Our last takeout comes from you. This is the first Tuesday of the new decade. I'm going to say that each day this week. Tomorrow will be the first Wednesday
of the new
decade.
Remember, back to the first Tuesday of that decade.
Are you glad the last decade is over?
This is not the end of the first decade of the 21st century. Next year, 2010, will be the last year of the first decade of the 21st century, just as 2001 was the first year of the 21st century, not 2000.
But who's counting, right, Larry?
Right. Well, you always get those listeners. Do the math, guys. Dan emails, year one was the first year of the first decade. There was no year zero, and year 10 is the last year of the first decade. It's a mathematical fact. Happy New Year.
Charlie writes, I hope you'll agree and be the first in the media to take notice of the correct math.
I mean, if you think about it, I mean, he's got a point.
The long and winding road.
You hear what I'm saying here? 1970 was still part of the 60s. The 70s began much later with Watergate and disco.
Really?
Yes.
That's your point.
I was alive then. Yes.
I was alive. I was in 1970.
I was plugged in culturally.
70s. Okay,
I was plugged
into a bottle. But we're anxious to hear from you on anything you have to do, including your news predictions, new predictions for the new year and new decade, whenever that begins. Give us a call at 8778-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.